This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. The National Weather Service says high winds, large hail, and possible tornadoes could hit Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia today. The news coming after at least 25 people were killed in Mississippi, one in Alabama, after an EF tornado ripped through the Delta on Friday. CBS's Christian Benavides.
Residents like Renia Pope of Rolling Fork are taking stock of the devastation.
I have so many family members, friends, memories that has been destroyed.
The town of Rolling Fork was among those hardest hit. The tornado also flattened the town of Silver City, claiming the life of Brian Parker's cousin, but sparing his wife and kids.
I just opened up the front door and I was just like, wow, God really, you know, he was really, you know, surrounding me and my family at the time.
The death toll from an explosion Friday at a chocolate factory in West Reading, Pennsylvania, rose to 4 this morning. Mayor Samantha Cagg.
I just want to make sure that everybody knows that we are really, truly taking this as seriously as we possibly can. As we try to find the information that we can to give to those that are still desperately in need and waiting for family members to come home or just waiting for some sort of answers.
Former President Trump spoke to thousands of people in Texas yesterday who want him back in the White House. KTVT reporter J.D. Miles was there.
I intend on Donald Trump being the 47th president.
These supporters believe all of the investigations are political witch hunts designed to stop him from another term in the White House.
He seems to care about us
and our military.
And our military, our border.
We found one protester among the crowd who accused Trump of using his Waco visit to compare his own legal troubles with the government to the Branch Davidian standoff that ended 30 years ago next month.
He's saying it's a government overreach, basically, for what's going on in his personal life.
Russian President Vladimir Putin says he's deploying tactical nuclear weapons to a neighboring country. Reaction from former CBS News Moscow Bureau Chief Beth Noble.
Putting these weapons in Belarus is mostly sending a message over its border to Ukraine and also to the West that Russia still has plenty of military power.
The Pope is expanding sex abuse laws to cover more Catholic officials, says CBS's Monica Ricks.
The law from 2019 holds senior church members accountable for covering up cases of sexual abuse. But Pope Francis now wants it to cover other Catholic leaders who may not be clergy members but still work for churches. And the pontiff clarifies it's not just children. Adults can be victims of abuse too.
The UN's International Atomic Energy Agency says its inspectors visiting southern Libya have now found drums containing natural uranium, drums that were reported missing earlier this month. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
If you're hankering for a hunk of Wisconsin-grown radio, you've come to the right place. This is Extra Sharp Weekends on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Home heating bills in Wisconsin are going up this winter. Experts say there are steps you can take to reduce the impact. Mike Moen has more.
The Energy Information Administration predicts that Midwest households that rely on natural gas will spend an average of $1,000 on heating bills this winter. That's a 33% increase over last year. Whitney Hayes of the energy nonprofit Elevate agrees the region will see cost headaches in the coming months.
We're expecting gas prices to continue to go up this winter because of things like the war in Ukraine, and we're still doing a lot of recovery from COVID and shipping and supply shock and whatnot. So
she advises that small things such as making sure there's air sealing around windows and doors can produce savings on your bill. And energy experts say electric heat pumps have come down in price and are now more reliable in extremely cold weather. David Kalata of the Citizens Utility Board agrees that heat pumps are a strong alternative to natural gas, but he stresses they still might be out of reach for low-income households and that policymakers need to offer more incentives to make them accessible to everyone. Meanwhile, he says maximizing these options will make a difference.
And if you take advantage of this program and then you'll seal cracks in windows and maybe install energy-efficient light bulbs, all of that works together holistically.
For those worried about their heat being disconnected this winter, most Midwestern states have cold weather rules, which require utilities to offer a payment arrangement to avoid that scenario.
Budget billing programs don't save you money over the course of a year, but they smooth out your payments, so you pay less in the winter and more in the summer.
Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Wax, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Wax, GTWLawyers.com.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and we are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripescast. My guest today is the Dustin Nickerson. I was going to say the very funny, but I was like, everyone's very funny. You know, Colleen?
Mm-hmm.
Colleen Maraca, executive producer of the Cripescast, joins me. Dustin is one of my good comedy friends, one of my best comedy buddies. He's so great to like bounce ideas off, write jokes about or with, you know. I'm sure he has some, he's actually really good at roasting. I'm sure he has good jokes about me, like just waiting in the wings. We actually toured together a couple of years ago, right before COVID, in fact. He was touring with me in the Pacific Northwest. He is headlining now. He's going to be at the Milwaukee Improv August 24th. He was actually on with us on the Cripescast episode 43. So if you want to get a lot of Dustin's background and everything, you can go back and listen to that. But big news is he's got a new comedy special coming out this week. It's called Runs in the Family. It comes out March 28th on YouTube. Make sure you mark your calendars. Perfect date night thing. It's a free date night. I mean, how Midwest nice is that? Dustin's not even from the Midwest, but he's giving you a free date night for his special Runs in the Family March 28th on YouTube. Check it out. In the meantime, Colleen Maraca, how we doing?
We're doing good.
Happy
spring.
Happy spring.
Yep.
Colleen Maraca, ladies and gentlemen, joining me in the booth.
We're back.
We are back. How was your, wherever you were?
Where was I?
I don't know. I showed up to the office yesterday and you were like, hey, nice to see you. I haven't seen you in a month. I was like, time flies by.
Like not long enough.
Flies by. I can't believe it's been a month.
Right? Yeah.
Time burns by when you get older. Isn't that weird? What's that about?
Yeah, life's moving quick. You and Dustin talk about it in your episode about...
Do we really talk about that?
You guys talk about once you're 40, nobody calls you young anymore unless you die.
First of all, I'm not... Yeah, that was funny.
That's a short one this week. It's
funny.
A good one. You're not 40. Let me just clarify for the audience.
No, I'm not.
Far from it.
What's wrong with being 40? I'm almost there. I'm 35.
Yeah.
Yeah.
36 next month.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I was just walking with my friends yesterday by the lake, and we were like, holy crap, we can't believe it's already middle of March.
It's already middle of March. Snow is melting.
Yeah.
And we're also going to get some more, but, you know.
Are we?
Probably.
Well, yeah, my kickball league was supposed to start next week, but we got moved back.
Moved back because of the snow?
I didn't really fully read it, but I'm glad because it would have been really cold, and I feel like I would have hurt myself pretty bad. So
yeah, you got to have those muscles warm, ladies and gentlemen. That is an important PSA that we give many PSAs here at the Cripescast.
Yep.
And that is stretch before you go play kickball.
Yes.
So that is that, folks. Oh, by the way, if you want to support the Cripescast before we get to this interview, make sure you head on over to mantalkman.com. We've got so much great merch there. It's made in the USA, and I'm talking t-shirts, koozies. Watch out. They say, watch out for deer. Tell your folks I says hi. We have sweatshirts, crew necks, really cool cribbage boards, which are made in Milwaukee. By a local group here, and
it's a three-person one if you want to play with three people, which is fun.
Yeah, that is fun. Three-person cribbage is not often done, but fun when it is done. So anyways, that's it. Let's get to my interview with Dustin. I mean, the only reason we're having this conversation is how many followers do you have?
Yeah, exactly. I wish I didn't know exactly. I mean, it should be 115K by the end of the day.
That's congratulations.
You know, it's funny. I talked to our mutual friend, Trevor Wallace, and he goes, hey man, just so you know, none of them feel better than 100K. And I was like, thanks.
That is really funny.
The climb is over. So,
yeah, I don't, that's interesting. That's probably true. Well, really, it's just anytime you get a certain number of followers, that wears away very quickly. And then you're like, all right, now I got to get 101, you know?
Well, 201. I remember talking to John about this years ago of like the level, the amount of followers you have to get, new followers to get to feel something. Cause when you first get on, you're like every new follower. And then it's like every 100 new followers, and then every 1,000 new followers, and then every 10,000 new followers. And now once you're over like the 100 mark, you're like, well, I'd like that to be 150.
Yeah.
You're like your increments of success. But as you also know, like it is like very much like a one percenters thing in that, or it's like the Matthew principle, like you to whom those have given, much more is given. It's easier to get followers when you have followers. Cause I do that. Yeah. I'll see like a viral video and then I'll click on their profile and they'll have like 9,000 followers. And like, it's a fluke.
Oh yeah, is that how you operate there? See that
on a new follow, I'm like, have I seen them be like consistently good for a while?
You know
before I,
well,
and
that's
then on TikTok, go ahead.
No, that's like the, like a lot of people will be doing this for a while and they'll be frustrated, and I'll talk to them and they'll be like, I just feel like I've been doing these videos and they're good videos and I've been doing them for a while and nothing's popping off. I'm like, that's like the hardest part and the work right there. Yep. Because as soon as you have one that just goes exponentially viral, they're going to do exactly what you did and be like, how long has this guy been doing it? And if you can the inspiring thing about that, one of the very few inspiring things about social media is that content is still king. And if you do really good, funny videos for long enough, the it's very unfair. Some people whose stuff pops off quick and people who don't, it has nothing to do with how funny you are. But I think if you're, willing to keep being funny for free for long enough, like it will take off.
Mm. Yeah.
I think
you're
but,
right.
Maybe that could be my privileged white guy with a big Midwest audience talking to you right now. You know,
I appreciate that you self-deprecated your own advice there, and you really hate yourself to that core level that you could say something so clearly inspirational and helpful. And go, but what do I know? I'm a piece of garbage.
Yeah. Well, I have to do that. That's what I have to do. Just in case. Yeah. And this is why I did it. Just in case there was somebody out there thinking it.
Yeah.
And because I am who I am, I assume there's at least five people thinking it. Between 5,000, you know.
I thought you were going to say it just in case the Catholicism is actually true.
Well, that. what are you talking about? What are you talking about? What exactly isn't true, huh? You non-denominational. Yeah. What's your denomination again? I forget because you don't have one.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
We're the one that started in rebellion.
Oh, is that right? Well, I don't. So Martin Luther, that's a very nail in the 99 theses. You know, he's got 99 theses and a confession ain't one, nailing them to the deal. So like theatrical. You know, what did the non-denoms do? What the non-denoms do?
Isn't it? It's when you say it like that, it is a lot. And, you know, you're like, you could have like had a lunch. You could have shared some of your points. You're like, hey, I got some new thoughts. The nail on the door and all 95 of them seems a bit much. And the more when you read his writings and, you know, and stuff, you're like, all right, why don't you? I mean, I guess to start a new thing from the Catholic Church, you had to have a bit of drama to you, but still.
Do you think that he did, like, he nailed each one to, like, so he nailed 95 times?
No, I think it was on one sheet.
One sheet?
Yeah.
Do you think it was double-sided?
Or at least very long. It's in my mind, it's very scroll-like. You know?
Okay.
It would be very funny if it was 95, because you would be like, listen, you just don't have efficient leadership skills. Like, yeah. Time management issues. Right. Put it on all one piece of paper, buddy.
Right.
The Catholic Church, they've got their problems. Efficiency is not one of them. They are a tightly run operation.
Oh, they got the ship going. I'm trying to fix my hair. I feel like I look like I play lacrosse right now, so I'm trying to fix it. But
listen, you're
Jimmy Neutron hair.
Listen, you are in my actual setup right here. Does it look like I'm standing? Because I am standing.
It does look like you're standing in like your family guest bedroom, because you got kicked out of your office. Because
so many funny assumptions there. one, that I can afford a guest bedroom. I think you forget I live in California. This is our bedroom. Thank you. This is. The reason I'm standing is because earlier this week I threw out my back, and so I'm standing with a warm brand.
I love that for so many reasons. What is that?
That's show business, baby.
What is that?
Show business. It's a little warm pack. This thing came fresh out of the microwave. Look how, like, when we're here, I look like a presentable human being, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh yeah, this works on a podcast. You know, it's got a cool hat, it has the glass. And just here, I'm just like every dad you've ever seen. I threw on the gray with it. I've got Birkenstocks on under here. It's a whole thing.
How'd you throw out your back?
Oh, age? Yeah, nothing. Yeah, it was I overdid it when we had to get some stuff under the bed, and I looked at a bed and I was like, oh, I feel it happening. It's gonna hit tomorrow. And sure enough, I bent over. Have you ever had lower back spasms?
First of all, I love how closely, I think in one of your specials, you had a joke about someone throwing out their back, and they threw it out something about the bed. I forget exactly joke was.
Holding a sheet. Yeah. It was an old employee of mine.
So you guys just got to stay away from the beds. Yeah, I thought that since that was your joke, you would know that.
It's a very like humiliating injury, lower back spasms, because it doesn't actually happen where you did something. It usually hits you like a day or two later, and it's like an invisible injury. Nobody sees anything. They just hear you whimpering on the ground. And like the first time my wife asked me about it, I was like, I feel like I'm having a baby through my butt. It hurts so bad.
Wow.
Like the contract, it feels like you're having like contractions or something in your lower back.
It's back spasms, a baby through your butt. I'm trying to think if I have had lower back pain, but I don't think I've had this yet.
You would know these. It's like a nerve thing. So it puts you on the ground. Like you can't function. It's about as painful as you can feel, that I felt at least. Like, and the most humiliating part about it is like, you don't really get to go to the doctor because they're like, yeah, it's ice and Advil and rest. That's it. They don't want to do an X-ray. There's nothing broken in there. You're just old. The real diagnosis is like, welcome to middle age. No. This is one of your problems.
I love it when you're not old, you're just not stretching enough. You're not old, you're just not drinking enough water. You know, it's all the stuff you're not doing, and you kind of live that out for a while until finally you're old. you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hilarious.
Because there's the age where you're not doing the things you should be doing enough. In your 20s, you can right. do whatever you want to your body. And then in your 30s, it's you got to stretch, stay hydrated, not drink, not smoke, not, you right. know, do anything fun. And then, and then eventually once, I think it's, how old are you?
38.
Okay. I'm 35. 35.
Yeah.
Yeah. When does it happen? When do you go from?
I think in your 40s is, I was thinking about this morning, in your 40s is the time that no one will refer to you as young anymore. Like, because in this gap right now, like we're mid late 30s here. So some people in like their 40s and their 50s will still roll their eyes at you. But I don't think that that happens in your 40s.
Okay. You are called young in your 40s if you have a heart attack in your 40s. Like, oh my gosh, she was so young. That's okay. the only time.
There's a very good chance I'm doing that on stage. Because what I was going to say is the bit that I was thinking about, the thing is that what in your 30s, people will still call you young. And in your 40s, people will go, well, you still have your health. Like that's the line that they'll use. But yeah. you are right. The only part about being young in your 40s is if you die. Mm-hmm. It's a crime if one of us doesn't put that on stage. That's so funny. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
yeah.
You're not so young. It's only, well, he was so young.
Yeah. But he was so young. Yeah, it's yeah, that yeah, he yeah. is so young. It's he was yeah, so all, young.
Was so
there
young.
It is. There it is. It's being the old stuff. I'm like, I'm drinking smoothies when I wake up because, like, otherwise, mm-hmm. it's the only time in the day where I'm like, all right, I'll get the greens in. Speaking of this, and I spilt some smoothie because I drink it right out of the smoothie cup because I'm not gonna buy like smoothies. I'm gonna get the little NutriBullet thing.
But
I don't want to get a cup to actually move the smoothie in because that's like just wasting a cup and then I got to wash that cup. So I drink it right out of the smoothie thing. But because mm-hmm. it's got the little curls, it drips onto my shirt. Every morning it drips onto my shirt and I go like that and it usually goes away. This morning I forgot to go like that and I just did an interview trying to promote my special.
I take it as a compliment that you didn't even think you needed to clean up for me. That you're that comfortable around me that you're like, I don't need to look in the mirror.
But first of all, that's very true. Second of all, I'm telling you, I'm not even talking about you, dude. I did a news interview right before I talked to you.
Oh, you're not talking about this?
No.
Oh,
no, you're doing this in your bedroom right now. Do you think I really care?
True.
I mean,
that's
true.
And I'm about to take this off, just so you know, because it's been enough time.
Take it off, dude. Take it off.
Now I'm loose.
You're feeling good, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, I've been doing. I actually did a new bit the other day on stage, also about lower back issues because my lower back's been hurting, and I was doing it about I was doing it wearing Hokas. Somebody told me, I've heard two things about Hokas. I've heard that they are cool and that they're very uncool. And I know them for a fact to be the most uncool shoe in the world. I mean, these every time I wear these, I feel like I should be walking to a parent teacher conference, you know?
Yeah. And, I was going to say, as a dad, I rolled my eyes at those and that's disconcerting.
Yeah. Okay. So let me explain why I'm wearing them. The only reason I'm wearing them is because of my lower back. They're the only thing. Like, I will walk around my house in Crocs and my lower back hurts. I'll walk around in boots. Like, I have three pairs of shoes, one of which is Crocs, you know, and those do well. They have some stuff, but anyway.
Do you have the little things in them? The little what are they called?
I don't know. They're little tchotchkes.
Yeah. What do you have in yours?
I honestly don't know. Crocs sent me them because I'm just that cool.
Okay,
I'm just
Gibbets?
That cool.
Is that what it's called?
Gibbets. Thank you, Colleen.
There you go.
Yeah.
Gibbets. So you Crocs.
Do you have gibbets in your Crocs?
I have a pair of Crocs. I don't find myself wearing them a lot. I find myself a little more of a sandal guy. It fits kind of my Birkenstocks, you know? And I think that checks out for me. I'm kind of a Birkenstocks granola type human. And my kids, though, wear them a lot. And they've got like the funny ones. They've got like Shrek, you know? Shrek is so fun. Shrek's a real meme. Shrek is really passed down to this Gen Z generation. So they wear them constantly.
Yeah, they do. I want to do something in the middle of this to promote your special, just so people know if they're like, in case they tune out. I kind of want to treat this interview like a Terry Gross interview. If you're joining me now, my guest is Dustin Nickerson. He's a very funny stand-up comedian with 115 Instagram followers.
As of now, we'll
Dustin.
Check it.
Yeah, as you check it again.
It's like a live count, like a telethon. Yeah. Oh, no, it's going down.
Your special is out. Is coming out at the time this interview comes out. What's the name of the special? Where can people find it?
Depending when this comes out. So the special is out March 28th. Uh-huh. It's called Runs in the Family, and it's on a little website called YouTube. You may have heard of it.
Yeah, I put mine out on YouTube too. Mine is also out at the time of this thing. What's it?
What's yours called?
Oh, you didn't watch the trailer I released on my channel 3 days ago?
No. I only see your sketches. No. I see a lot of your sketches though.
I do appreciate that. I see a lot of your videos too. They're very funny. I'm one of your 115. It's called Midwest Goodbye. What's yours called?
Runs in the Family.
Oh, yeah, you already said that.
Yeah, I did already say that. So, you know, you can get mad at me for not watching your trailer, or I can get mad at you for not hearing what I said less than 30 seconds. But that's cool that you got a special coming out, too. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Real cool. So, how do you feel upon releasing? Is it all edited, done, up?
We're almost there. We're doing like the final fine tunes of like just like some small audio changes, a couple little edits here and there. Did you edit all yours yourself?
No. I mean,
okay.
Robbie, my buddy Robbie did. And then Max. I mean, I had like a lot of people on my team. Colleen, who's she's on the other end of listening to this. Hannah, like a bunch of people helped edit it, who work
good
with me. Did you edit all of yours yourself?
No, mine is literally was directed and is edited by a dude that lives in a van named Alec Parent, who is a funny comic and a very good video guy. And he does a lot of like clips and records a lot of shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, could you piece together a special? Do you think we could do this? You know?
Yeah.
He's done a great job. Sometimes I'll be like, I can't believe that this all happened on a dude's laptop in a van.
That's great. Is he expensive?
No, I wouldn't have used him if he was. You don't get a guy who lives in a van because he's expensive. You get him for the opposite reason. You get him before he lives inside while he's cheap. He did a good job. But
that's
awesome. it's like though, like, you know, at the end of the day, like specials, like I think it's so funny when like comedy specials have a director. You're like, the comic is the director. We're the director. Like we're the producer, the director. The only person in it, because you did direct everything. You set it up. You have the final say on everything. You're like, they send you edits and then you go back and forth and say this, add this, change this. When I'm editing my special or I'm going through and watching it for edits, my brain is going, the best thing that this special could be, the way we could make this better, is if it was a different stand-up comedian. That's what it needs.
I don't.
It needs to not be me. That's the issue here.
I know. I had a dark night of the soul editing my special too, which I think
was
turned
out great.
Was this
the night you called me?
Yeah. Yep.
That was the night you called me.
That was the night I called you. I was like, I got to shoot it. I got to shoot it again. It. Yeah.
Yeah. And that wasn't your darkest moment, because I got to shoot it again is right before I have to quit comedy. That's the actual.
You saved me from my darkest moment. I didn't quite get there yet.
Yeah, you're like, I know, I just can't do this. I'm not good at this.
Yeah, I know. And then you watch, I watched Nate's special.
Yeah, so good.
And I was like, I'm going to go back to being a bike mechanic, I think, you know? Hey, folks, keep her moving to Civic Media every Saturday and Sunday at noon for the Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens.
What do you mean you don't know what a fib is? It means Illinois.
CBS News Brief, at least 26 people have been killed by a tornado that hit Mississippi and Alabama Friday in Rolling Fork, Mississippi. Wanda Barfield says she's grateful to be alive.
We okay. We can get everything else. When it's your time, it's just your time. If we can't be angry with God, God makes no mistake.
Russia is putting tactical nuclear weapons in neighboring Belarus, but defense security expert Daniel Gouray isn't alarmed.
It is a political move. I don't think it is a particularly serious escalation. And it doesn't create a risk.
It's the first time Russia has deployed its tactical nukes to another country in 30 years. Protests continue in Israel against a plan by the government to gain more control over the country's judiciary.
This is an emergency time for the democracy of Israel because of the plans of Benjamin Netanyahu that want to turn this nation into a dictatorship.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Wachs, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Imagine planning your wedding in just one day. Pre-register for tickets at madcitybridoexpo.com and receive a $200 gift card. Tickets are also available at the door for $10. Read all the details at madcitybridoexpo.com and like them on Facebook. It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Your ring is just the beginning.
Hey, Wisconsin, the spring election is April 4th. Make sure you're prepared with an ID to vote. If you have a Wisconsin driver's license or state ID, military ID, U.S. passport, VA card, or Wisconsin tribal ID, you're all set. If not, you've got options. For free help getting an ID to vote, call or text Vote Riders at 866-ID-2-VOTE. That's 866-ID, the number 2, V-O-T-E. Call or text today, 866-ID-2-VOTE.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Jim Santel for just a few more minutes. As you point out, this is a civil trial, not a criminal trial. You think that the Trump org will end up with the death penalty under New York law.
Letitia James, she's doing a civil case, right? This is a criminal matter.
Oh, it is. So I misunderstood.
It is, yes.
Normally so, I leave the being wrong to Dom.
Right?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Hey, folks, if you're just tuning in, I'm Charlie Behrens, and I'm talking to my good buddy and fellow comedian, Dustin Nickerson, and you are listening to Civic Media. Would you consider yourself a clean comic?
Oh, yeah. I'm a clean comic, yeah.
But, I mean, like, what's the line for that? Like, what can you not say to be a clean comic? Like, if your audience screams back at you, the Bears, is that... That's still clean because in the context, it's before the Bears, so it doesn't count, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. That's a really interesting line on yours because that is the only time that there's swearing during your show.
Right.
Right? Like,
right.
Which is such a funny thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't even, in the context of knowing anything about the NFL in the Midwest, it doesn't even really feel like cursing.
Mm-mm. No, it's just a fact, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like when people are like, well, you shouldn't do drugs and alcohol is bad for you too. You're like, alcohol doesn't count. Don't throw that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you're technically right, but we all accept alcohol as a poison that we're allowed to consume.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's one of the many.
So, no, I'd still put you, I think you're safe. Plus, are you saying it? Or they just yell it at you?
Oh, they yell it at me. Yeah, they yell it at me. I actually didn't say it. The audience said it back at me twice, and I realized.
That's hilarious.
Now I forget why I was asking that question. Yeah, in the special. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you were talking about Nate and being clean and...
Oh, yeah. And so he did a lot of bits that... there will be a time when someone will do a bit where you're like...
Yeah.
You know, you'll say all the not clean things because you're like, that was a bit that I almost could have thought of if I was better at what I did, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And that's the compliment to the comic of like, it's also kind of funny and arrogant when you do that, when you're like, oh, I should have thought of that. I'm like, well, you didn't.
Yeah. You had literally a decade to think of that joke.
Yeah.
You've experienced this your whole life.
Yeah,
and you haven't done it. What makes you think you were just going to do it tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, if enough time would have passed, I would have gotten to it. Yeah. You're like, what? What are you talking about? You didn't think of it. They did.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Nate is a great example of that, though, because Nate is so accessible and relatable that you just go, that was right there in front of me. How did I not think? Now, I will say this about Nate bits of like, I don't know if you ever try and quote a Nate bit. They're not funny unless he says them. He's like the package. Yeah. Like Nate, it's all like, I think that bit about like picking up ice is one of the funniest bits I've ever heard. And I don't even repeat it to people because I'm like, I'm not going to do this justice. Like,
no.
Because it's you got to hear him and the whole package of it and the accent and the low energy and Nate's. Yeah. It's, and he's so subtle up there. It's incredible.
It is. And you're right. Cause you're like, why? He does a lot of jokes, which is why didn't I think of that? Which is usually I did think of that. I just didn't think it was a bit. Like I observed it.
That's good.
I know, like noticing it, like seeing it and observing it are two different things, you know?
Yeah. And then I go, and I'm not talented enough to make it funny.
Yeah, right. Like a better comedian would do really good with that, you know?
But you know your strengths at a certain point. It's so funny. I like, you know, this, I'm like working now on what will be like my third hour, you know? And I was talking to, Taylor Tomlinson, who I tour with a lot right now. And I was like, I was doing the outline for the new hour. And I was like, so it's, I told her, I'm really switching it up this hour. I'm talking about aging, marriage, my kids and my dad. And she laughed. I was like, that's all I've ever talked about. After the four. Everything, even if it's like a political joke or something like that, it's still under the umbrella of me talking about aging, marriage, my kids, or my dad. Those are the four topics that I got.
that's wildly surprising. You saying that is pretty surprising because, by the way, I initially brought up Nate too, also to say that in a lot of ways you as much as you're putting yourself down, self-deprecating. You know, if I were Netflix, I would be recommending you in the same vein as Nate. You know, your stuff
nice.
Is hilarious. And it's also, it is. Although I'm going in two different places. You did do a lot of funny stuff around, like when you did your pandemic show, you did a lot of like, you know, those kinds of things, but I guess it was in context with like what was all going on there.
Yeah.
But it was very funny.
Yeah, you are right. There is, I guess, you know what it is like there's specials and then there's like the shows that I did with Kev, like Kev on Stage and like the only white comedian for the all black crowd and stuff like that. Those almost feel like timely, like appearances almost.
Oh, that's where you would call that.
Yeah. A lot of those are like, because I was like, I'm going to post a lot of this material and a lot of it's not going to be in a special anywhere. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of different in that I usually write jokes for at least half that set usually is stuff that I wrote for that show or have been like things that I've just kind of been like riffing about or maybe doing like locally, like COVID jokes or there's a lot of BLM stuff in there. And, you know, like that you're like, okay, or vaccine jokes or something like that, that you're like, but you know, I don't know if you think this, like there's not, I was telling this to Mel from the time that Kobe died to, I think the insurrection, I think that 2 year span, everybody was talking about the same thing simultaneously. We were all, it all went from Kobe died and then we went straight into COVID and then we went straight into the BLM stuff. And then we had an election and then we had vaccines or we went vaccine stuff, election, vaccine stuff, insurrection. We were all talking about the one same thing simultaneously. And I don't think that's the case anymore. Like I don't, it doesn't feel like we have like groupthink the way we used to. Where everyone is like, this is the one issue that we're talking about. So when I felt like in during the pandemic, I was like, you have to talk about some of these things because it's literally what everybody is thinking about. Like if January 7th, you did stand up comedy and you didn't acknowledge the insurrection the day before, you're like, what are you doing?
Right, like, right.
There has to be at least some nod to that. Like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm, you know, I flew in today. I'm sorry. I'm tired. I just got back from storming the Capitol. I don't know what your joke was. Like, yeah. You felt like you had to say something. And I have not been doing nearly as much like topical stuff since then because I just don't feel a need to because people are like, yeah, just do your act, man. I'm here for the act, baby. Right. Make fun of the city I'm in and then let's go.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think it's, there's just, I get so, exhausted. I mean, I've got some jokes that I think overarching say stuff about sort of where we are to a degree, but I did the news kind of thing for so long. Even before the Manitowoc Minute, it was like a lot of headline punchline type stuff. And following that and trying to figure out if a story's going to live long enough to make the video worth doing. And that whole like deal and then seeing a video you put a lot of work into have a very short shelf life because you're always chasing the news stream. It's just it was so exhausting that and that's from, I guess, making a video standpoint. Doing a joke on stage is that's something I still do quite a bit. But the video aspect, that's a lot to do.
Yeah, you're right, though, that like. You know, that's the problem with topical stuff. It has a really short shelf life. And I think one of the best jokes I ever wrote was a vaccine joke about, I don't even remember, like about the Johnson & Johnson, that I didn't trust it because it was two shots. And I didn't like how they were in a meeting and they're like, hey, all the other vaccines are one shot. But like, remember what we did with shampoo and conditioner? You know, you know, and then I did like a full act out, the two become one. That was an incredible joke. Like, I'm complimenting myself. That is such a funny joke. And it would murder. It would like bring the house down. And then you're like, and then you just felt it diminishing on stage because everyone's like, yeah, I don't want to talk about this. And nobody remembers how many shots the Johnson & Johnson was or anything like that. And that's the hard part with topical material. You're like, oh, I wrote this incredible thing and now it's dead.
Right. Like here's what I would do. I would go to, like the thing, like Newser, some like aggregating website and look for like a red one, you know, that means this is a big deal. Patricia Heaton has incredible response to Don Lemon. I'm not even going to pretend like I know what, and that's like, that's a big newsmaker story. I have no idea what the hell, honestly, I'm not. Do you know Patricia Heaton well?
I know who she is. Yeah. And she was, Everybody Loves Raymond, right? The wife.
Yeah. I didn't know. I didn't know. I was like, is she a politician? I should know. That's, you know.
I think she is very political now. I think she's, I think that
is she right or left?
I don't know that. Yeah. I'm guessing there.
But I'm so much happier not knowing that.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Yeah. So anyway,
I do it now. I'll do it like on Twitter. I'll go like, what's trending? And is there anything that everyone, and now it's like mostly sports.
Yeah.
And I'm all right, things are back to the way they should be.
Yeah. I also think Twitter changed a lot. Cause now
Elon.
I don't really go on anymore because like there's so much crap on Twitter. At one point in my life, I just followed a lot of people to try and get them to follow me back, you know, like early in my, when they were like, you just need followers, you know, like I'm old enough that like the acceptable thing to do was to then go follow a bunch of people so they follow you back.
Right.
Consequently, I think a lot of people, and I don't really have a feed. And then, so if I'm going to figure out, I usually use the hashtag thing, but now like everybody's got a hashtag. So I don't even know what I'm supposed to care about, you know?
I mean, I would say that's it's a middle-aged problem in general of that. I don't know what I'm supposed to care about anymore.
Yeah.
Can someone think about the things you're passionate about in your 20s and you're like, oh
yeah.
Like you see your old Facebook memory post and you're like, oh no, there's no one I hate more on this planet than my former self.
Yeah. I know.
Oh my God.
I think there's a lot, like there's a lot going on in this world and there's a lot of good you can do. And there's a lot of good you can do by caring. But I think, you know, just getting swept up in whatever is, like, there are some people who I know, if there's some, like, whatever they're going to post is going to make some big issue out of something that you know they just learned about 2 days ago. Like, and now they're a freaking expert. And anyone who disagrees with the 2 days of research they did, and by days, I mean 2 hours, they just, then they're a bad person. And I don't even care what side of the issue you're on. It's just, we all know those people and there's nothing more than exhausting. And I also fear that at one point in my life, I may have been that person, which is.
Yeah, which is the real fear. I think what it is there are a lot of issues that I care about and that you care about. It's I tend not to care a lot about the people who are always talking about that issue.
Right.
Because we are like enough in this world of like, where you're like, you don't actually care about that issue. You're just trying to grow a platform or upset people or, you know, be a troll.
That's
or whatever
it
may
there.
Be.
Yeah. That's it. That's like, what's upsetting me. Yeah.
You're like, you know, so many, and we see comics do this of like, you don't care about this.
Right.
You've just found a little following here. You don't, you know, it's very like politician of them. You're like, hey, you're saying what it takes to get votes, baby.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I know. Yeah. I mean, but there was a comic that I knew who was, I don't know, he was just doing whatever, but then he started doing these hard right. His stuff was funny, I thought, but then he just was doing, he did like one hard right video. And I think he got so much feedback from like the far right that he just kept doing more and more of those.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's like, and it happens on the far left too. It's not left or right, but it's just, you get into this feedback, thing, and people like that. Or they have no, I don't know. I think people feel like they have no choice but to like their audience and to like, if you just do videos that aren't bad crazy, you don't need to keep making bad crazy videos.
Yeah. Well, and what you're saying is you and I are similar. You and I are like, I feel bad for their followers in the sense that you're like, hey, they don't believe this.
Right.
They don't. They've just found a following. And that was their whole goal. Was just
they're trying to sell merch that says sheeple. And the only way you sell a shirt that says sheeple is if you pretend like you're not all sheep yourself,
like
wearing a sheeple shirt. If you are
like
all wearing sheeple shirt, what do you think? Not ironic anymore. That's just real.
Like the comic on the other side is trying to sell masks.
Right.
Trust the science.
Exactly. Oh God. Oh man. I hated that so much. Cause like, I was like, during COVID, I was like, all right, what do we need? Just, it's a simple thing, you know? And they're like, we need masks. And so I was like, I'm doing this, a video, a Bloody Mary video. And I was like, and the hospitals need masks. So they said, even if you make them, take them on over there or whatever. And like,
yeah,
2 weeks later, they were like, yeah, those homemade masks, those don't work. I was like, well, I could have told you that, you know? Like, didn't anyone think before you like got everyone to take these in the hospitals? But
Charlie,
I don't know.
Remember when we couldn't find them?
Oh, remember when yeah. Did we bring this up?
We were together right when this all was happening. I don't think we've talked about this.
Did
we were like on the eve of the end of the world together.
Wait. When was the last time you were on this podcast?
I'm not sure. I think it might have been when my last special came out, which would have been. So it was after we worked together. So maybe we did talk about it.
Well, let's talk about the story. Oh, Colleen says April of 2021, episode 42. Thank you, Colleen.
It was for the book. We might not have talked about it then.
Okay. All right. So tell the story. Where were we?
This was February 2020. This would have been like mid-February 2020.
In fact, hang on. I'm going to give a little more detail to this. As I just say, tell the story. I'm going to jump in.
Let's do it together. Baby.
Okay. So I'm landing in Seattle, I think, Tacoma, maybe.
Yes.
And as I literally pick up my phone, you know, doing the thing when the entire plane is turning their phone on and the first thing it says is first case of coronavirus, which I think is what it was called back then. First case of coronavirus lands in Washington.
In Seattle, Washington
State, as I literally am landing. I'm like, oh, shit. Wow.
Here we go.
I was opening
for you. We were doing a run of shows in Tacoma, Portland, and Spokane. Spokane was second. Portland was last, I think. I think we went Tacoma, Portland, or Tacoma, Spokane, Portland.
Uh-huh.
And so we're driving. We are like, we're just kind of like casually talking about like, oh, COVID, what's going to happen? Wash your hands, everybody.
Yeah.
Like, it's the new monkeypox or whatever. We don't know. Like,
yeah.
Just like being stupid. And we're driving over the Cascades into Eastern Washington, which I've done a bunch. And it's like kind of rural and desolate out there. And we're like, we should make a video about masks, like designing your own mask or like, hey, everyone has some masks. Let's have like a fashion mask. Like that was the idea, was like, you know, making. And this was like, and now we're like, that's like an actual product that people have worn for 2 years now, but this was forever ago. And we were like, let's go try and find one, right?
Yeah.
And we couldn't find one. Like we were in the early times where they were getting masks scooped up. Like we went to like Home Depot, we went to like arts and crafts stores.
Yeah, you couldn't find a wood mat or one for wood particles that didn't even do anything. You couldn't find it at all. And this was shortly after. And also, by the way, at this point, the people buying the masks is the exact people, for the most part, if I were to generalize, the people who were buying masks early are the people who were not wearing masks after the fact.
Hilarious.
That's what I remember. In fact, because I think the sketch was going to be something about how something to that tune of how they were like, they said that the mask didn't work. They said it didn't work. So,
that's right.
And of course I was like, oh, these people know what they're talking about, but no, they were just lying, dude.
Right.
I think that was the first mess up in that whole thing, is that you couldn't just tell people, no, the masks work to a degree, but we just need these for doctors. So they're the most important people to a degree.
It's so funny to like look back and try and remember what we were thinking at whatever time, because I forgot there was that era where it was bad to have a mask because they're like, the doctors need these, and you're like, oh wait, what's, so I'm supposed to wear one but not. Oh, okay.
They said two things, though. They said two things. They said the mask was ineffective, but also we need the masks for the doctors or whatever.
Right. That's right. They were lying. They were saying they're ineffective so we wouldn't buy them, right?
Yeah. It's like, as soon as you do that, no wonder
everything went out the window. Like that's like as soon as you start lying, it all goes to hell, because then no one's got any basis. Nobody trusts anyone to begin with. And now you're doing that.
Well, and that's just showing that they're not trusting Americans to be like, hey, doctors need these. And Americans are like, friggin' doctors, I need these.
I know. But that's
which
the thing
they are
about
right to think that.
Right. That's the thing about America, though. You try to correct it by thinking you know how they're going to react, you know, and then America just does like the most. I mean, that's just not knowing Americans, I guess, saying that.
Like, no, we'll find out the truth. We will. Yeah. We'll throw your tea in the harbor. We don't friggin' care.
Exactly. We will find out your truth and discover that our truth is more fun to believe, and we're just going to believe that, you know? It's just more fun. And then there are these people who are like, I can sell a bunch of stuff by that, you know? And then
I know a lot of people like lost a lot of trust in the CDC during that time. I have never trusted the CDC, because the CDC is the one who says that if you have more than two drinks in a day, you've got a problem. And that's not true.
that can't be true, can it?
That's hogwash. There's not a thing coming out from that agency that I trust after that stat. What are you gonna, next thing you're gonna tell me that a pregnant woman can't drink? Come on.
Oh man. Yeah.
It's so interesting to look back on those, we'll, Mel and I will do that, of just like, we'll drive by and we'll be like, remember when our beach, because we live in San Diego, remember when the beaches were closed? They closed the beaches because they thought, and then in hindsight, like, that's the literal best thing you could do, just to go be outside.
Oh my God.
In the sun.
I know. Yeah. I know. Closing, you're like, really? Like going to the windiest, the biggest, windiest place I can think of? That's somehow going to be bad?
We had an era up there where AA meetings were closed, but liquor stores were open. And you're like, there was another one that I remember we were driving by, like, you weren't allowed to have like parties or gatherings, but like Party City was still open. You're like, God, what? Just be, tell us one thing. Just let us be consistent in understanding of one of these things, please.
Dude, all I know is that at some point in human history, there's going to be a contagion type disease and we're just all going to die for sure. We're not capable as people of handling like that, you know, at all.
Yeah.
And right now, Earth is like in the process of like, they tried to get rid of us, you know, like, but the scientists of Earth, created the whole COVID thing, to try and kill off humanity to save the planet, are like, you know what? We know what to do now. This vaccine didn't work. We've got another vaccine. And that's just like airborne disease with conspiracy theory.
I think that you just like what's one of the funny thing that just about Americans is like, hey man, like we started in revolution. That's where it started. Mm-hmm. We're like, right. I mean, there's some king on the other side of the water. Yeah, I don't care about that. And it's just never really went away. We're just a very natural, rebellious country. Even we'll rebel against each other, and then we were at war with each other a few years later.
we've got very third child vibes, you know. America's,
we're like, F you dad, and we're like, F you brother, and now we're like, F everybody. That's just who we are, baby.
Yeah, we're like, and sometimes we're like the third child, like who ended up like getting a good job somehow, you know? Because
we're very high achieving. Yeah.
And then we like look over at the UK, like, you know, like I used to respect you, you know, or something like that, you know. All right, well, be good. It was super nice. Thanks.
Congrats
on
the special. You're very funny. I know you don't believe it, but you are.
Oh well, I know you believe it. Okay. Thanks, man. Right. We'll see you
soon. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Yeah, bye-bye. Bo folks, that was it for this week's episode of the Cripes Cast. Make sure you follow my good friend Dustin Nickerson at Dustin Nickerson on all the places where you follow people. Check out his new stand-up special. It is out this week. If you follow him at Dustin Nickerson, you will get all...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.